Over the past few months, we've heard more and more about the Republic of Yemen, which lies on the bottom of the Arabian Peninsula, with Saudi Arabia to the north, Oman to the east, and across the Gulf of Aden, Somalia to the west. The Nigerian man accused of trying to blow up a transatlantic airliner on Christmas Day said he was trained for that by al-Qaeda in Yemen. In response to security concerns, the United States and the United Kingdom decided to close their embassies in Yemen's capital, Sana'a. Sudarshan Raghavan, a foreign correspondent for The Washington Post, moved to Yemen on assignment a couple of months ago. He's back in the States for a week and joins us now from a studio at The Washington Post's headquarters. Nice to have you with us on Talk of the Nation today.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
And what is going on with the cooperation with the Yemeni government? They have, in the past, been involved with Islamic extremists in one way or another. There's even suggestions that they're using Islamic extremists right now to try to put down a civil war in the northern part of the country.
Exactly. There's been quite a bit of tainted loyalties, you might say, tangled loyalties inside the Yemeni government. On one hand, they're fighting a war against Al Qaeda. On the other hand, they are using Sunni extremists in another war in the north, and it's something that has happened before. They've also used Sunni extremists to fight a civil war in 1994 with the South. So there really is to many observers, this does raise questions about Yemen's sort of long-term commitment to fighting to U.S. counterterrorism goals in the Arabian Peninsula.
There is that civil war in the north. This is Shias, and again, the Sunni majority there. Of course, there's a Sunni majority in Saudi Arabia, which is involved in that conflict in the north. At the same time, you mentioned at one point there was North Yemen and South Yemen, and now there is a secessionist movement in the south yet again.
Yes, this is just these are two major emergencies that the Yemeni government is basically faced with. In addition to this, they're also facing high employment rates, immense poverty, high illiteracy. So there's a lot of challenges, and this raises concerns certainly among U.S. officials and the West, essentially whether Yemen is focused enough on targeting Al Qaeda militants, which has suddenly overnight basically become a major concern to the United States.
And we're talking with Sudarshan Raghavan, a foreign correspondent with The Washington Post, just back on a visit from his post in Yemen. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And how did al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula rise to become such capable of mounting international attacks?
Well, the current generation of al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula really was launched out of a 2006 jailbreak in which 23 al-Qaeda militants escaped, and they included Nasser al-Wahashi, who is now the leader of al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula, and he was a former personal assistant of Osama bin Laden. Since 2006, the group has basically, the Yemen branch has merged with the Saudi Arabian branch of al-Qaeda. And so now you see certainly a much more organized affiliate, you might say, and led by Yemenis and Saudis. And, this is not the December, the Christmas Day airline attempt to bomb the airliner was not the first instance of using such tactics. Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula also tried a similar tactic to assassinate Prince Mohammed bin Nayef in Saudi Arabia, who is the top counterterrorism official there, and they nearly got away with it. The bomber basically crossed into Yemen, was able to pass several security points, and blow himself up steps away from the prince, who miraculously survived.
Crossed into Saudi Arabia is what you meant to say. I'm sure.
That's right, exactly.
And as you look at this organization, where is it? This is, we understand, large parts of this country there's nobody in control of them.
That's absolutely correct. The government is essentially in control of the capital and some of the main cities, but out in the tribal areas, which comprise much of the country, it's ungoverned. It's filled with large mountains, plenty of places to hide, to have safe havens for al-Qaeda militants. Al-Qaeda also has the support of many of Yemen's strong tribes who also dislike the government, and this shared dislike has made them in some ways unify with Al Qaeda. So there, it's in these vast, lawless areas that the group has managed to really gain recruits and really set up what is emerging to be a safe haven.
And tell us about another factor, as if the separatist movement in the south and the civil war in the north and Al Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula weren't enough. One of the neighboring countries is Somalia. As you say, there are people fleeing that failed state, Somalia, to a failing state in Yemen.
That's absolutely correct. There's, Yemen, as you've noted, faces so many challenges, and the most recent one is Somalia now. There are, thousands of Somali boys and teenagers who are entering into Yemen. Yemen has over the years really treated the Somali refugees extremely well, better than any other Arab country. They've welcomed them, but now that the welcome mat is kind of being pulled away a bit because of concerns that these young boys and teenagers could possibly end up joining Al Qaeda militants here. The Somalis they're much worse off than Yemen, which is already the poorest country in the Arab region. But Somalis in Yemen are many young boys are basically car washers on the streets. They live in dire poverty. The Yemeni officials are concerned that Al Qaeda can recruit these guys with a simple $100 a month, let's say.
And indeed, that some of them may have already been engaged by the rebel movement in the Islamic movement in Somalia, which has links to Al Qaeda too.
That's correct. I was down in the refugee camps about a month ago, and I did meet several former Islamic militant fighters who had either defected from the Islamists in Somalia or were basically fleeing because they didn't want to be recruited by them, forcibly recruited. So, but the point I think for the Yemenis, certainly the big concern is you have a lot of young, in many cases, highly trained men, boys, you might say, inside Yemen.
Just a quick question, Siddharthan. You were previously the Washington Post's Baghdad bureau chief. Yesterday, as listeners may know, a bomb explosion near one of the big hotels damaged the Post's bureau there. I wonder if you've heard from your colleagues.
Oh, yes, of course. I've been in touch with them. It was miraculous that no one was killed. One of my Iraqi colleagues wrote me an email saying that he was actually his chair was by one of the windows and a shrapnel flew through the window and pierced the back of his chair and went through it. Luckily, he wasn't sitting in the chair. So that's how close our colleagues had came to really getting seriously injured and probably killed.
NPR shares that facility with the Washington Post. We can report our colleagues were safe too. Again, miraculously. Siddharthan Raghavan, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you for having me.
My foreign correspondent for the Washington Post recently returned from 2 months in Yemen. Tomorrow, political junkie Ken Rudin joins us with a preview of the State of the Union message. Join us then. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.